Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. As we've been spending time on Sundays talking about spiritual matters, we'll kind of do that in the morning as well. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Amen. Ephesians 6, the process of thought actually starts in Ephesians 4. And Paul will spend, and so Ephesians 1 through 3 is a whole other part, but Ephesians 4, he talks about the Christian life. And he'll use the metaphor of walking as kind of the backdrop to this whole thing. So if you look at like chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling." And then he goes in verse 17 of chapter 4, and he says, "In this I therefore and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as Gentiles, also walk in the futility of their mind." And then in chapter 5, he continues on this theme, and he says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love." And then he'll continue that whole aspect of walking, and he'll talk about, you know, the abundant life is the Spirit-filled life. And then, you know, it talks about his family, you know, the marriage of Christ and the church, and then family relationships. And then to sum it all up, you know, he's talking about, you know, the walk is a spiritual walk. You know, the walk that we encounter is the walk of warfare. And so in a lot of ways, this is kind of a very good kind of a overall broad picture of the Christian life. You know, and it's important for us to understand that, because when we talk about spiritual matters or spiritual warfare or those kind of things, you know, we're not talking about something that's outside the realm of Christianity or outside the realm of discipleship. In Paul's mind, it was right alongside with everything else. You know, talking about being imitators of God, walk in love, you know, in that same breath, he talks about spiritual warfare. You know, and it's a real bummer, you know, a lot of times that most churches don't, you know, end up teaching this aspect of that walk, you know, and they talk about love and relationships and all that other stuff. But in Paul's mind, the warfare was as important. It was a simple part of the overall walk of a Christian encountering this world and this life. And so he concludes verse 10 in chapter 2 we read, and he says, "Finally." In other words, now he's finishing his thought. You know, he's ending with the punctuation mark, you know, or I should say the exclamation mark, you know, behind this whole thought. And now he's talking about the walk of warfare that each of us has to walk in. And he talks about, you know, weapons of this warfare. You know, if you remember in Corinthians, you know, he talks about, you know, exactly what I just said, the weapons of warfare. And now he begins to elaborate on this thought a little bit more to us. And especially, you know, when you read Paul or these things, you'll see a kind of in the beginning, early letters, starts very general. And then he gets older, he gets much more specific. And actually, I think not this weekend, but next weekend, I'll elaborate on that a little bit more on during Sunday, during the service. And he talks about, okay, so this is the walk of warfare now. So be strong in the Lord, right, and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you'll be able to resist the schemes. And so he talks about this armor. I'm just going to spend a little bit of time talking about this. And in verse 14, he says, you know, "Gird your loins with truth." You know, and so the loins, right, kind of representing the reproduction. You know, and the way that we reproduce, you know, so we can talk about discipleship or more evangelism or those things. You know, the way that we produce will be with truth, right? This will be, you know, the bread and butter of our reproduction and whatever we do. And then it says, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. And so, you know, just on a real simple, you know, look at the scriptures. You know, righteousness is what is going to protect our heart. You know, no matter what situations that you encounter, just simply understanding that you've done the right thing will protect your heart. Heart also dealing with our emotions, you know. And, you know, we kind of know that when we have done things that we shouldn't do, it's really our emotions, our you know, our guilt or these things that really have a way in our life and an open door in a lot of ways. But it's the breastplate of righteousness. You know, to keep our emotions in check, to keep us even keel, it's this righteousness, it's right living that's going to walk us into that thing. And it says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you know, and, you know, the way, when I read this little passage about the feet and peace and all these things, you know, I think about like swift feet, you know, anxiety or, you know, you never meet people that are always tapping their feet all the time, or nervous and, you know, and always, you know, quick to move and do things. I'm actually kind of like that. My legs move all the time, you know, but this is the idea of patience, you know, of not being quick to move and act. And then, and it says, in addition to all this, you take the shield of faith, which will extinguish, you know, the flaming missiles of the evil one. And this is, this shield is something that's outside of your body. You know, everything else is protecting kind of your body, but now this shield that, you know, that you hold in your arm is your main point as a defensive mechanism that you have, you know, to extinguish the flaming missiles of the enemy. And as a Christian, you know, we have to, you know, be very aware that the enemy has missiles that he shoots us all the time. Now, we can, you know, draw this out. And missiles are most likely things that come and try to intercept us in our mindsets. You know, these are lies, deception, you know, thoughts. You know, again, I talked about schemes, you know, last few Sundays, all referring to the mind, the battlefield of the mind. And it's, you know, the enemy is going to come with these missiles, and it's going to be the faith. You know, it's going to be our ability to trust God. You know, the enemy throws something at you, right? It shoots a missile your way, and you are confronted now with believing the lie or trusting God. You know, the enemy throws and says, oh, you're never going to get a good job. You know, you're never going to be able to support your family. And then you have to decide, because it's the shield of faith. You know, are you going to put faith in those words, or are you going to put faith in God? And say, no, God is my provider. You know, the enemy throws a missile at you. Oh, you're never going to get married. You know, and then you have to decide, well, am I going to believe the lie? And am I going to put my faith and trust in the lie, or my faith and trust in God? You know, and it's the shield is our mechanism. In other words, this overriding trust, you know, that we abide by and live by is the shield that we put up that extinguishes, right? The word there is extinguishes the flaming missiles of the evil one. You know, and so if you think about it, if the shield can extinguish that, you know that there's something quite powerful going on in the shield, as well as, you know, kind of the, you know, not so power that happens in the missiles. And then he says, and then you take the helmet of salvation, this is kind of an important picture, because the helmet of salvation is that which protects our mind. You know, understanding that, you know, that you have assurance of salvation. And this in itself will help in many, many ways if you really understand that. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, and this is the only offensive weapon that we have in our arsenal. You know, and the offensive weapon is the sword, right? But it's the sword of the Spirit. And he says, which is the Word of God. Now, in the end of verse 17, the Word of God is not just talking about the Bible, even though that's a part of it, but the word is rhema. You know, which would be different to logos in John chapter 1. And the rhema would literally mean the spoken word of God. In other words, it's not just the Bible, you know, that you read. It's the Bible that you know deep inside. You know, it's not just the scriptures that you understand. is actually the scriptures that you live by, and the word of God is inside of you, and when you speak that word out, there's power there. That's the sword of the Spirit. You know, so we're not necessarily just talking about memorizing scripture, even though that's a huge part of it. You know, that's why our first discipleship, GIC, we spent a lot of time memorizing scripture. You know, because that's a part of it, but it's not just the reciting of scripture that's memorized. It's the reciting of scripture that you know. You know, it's the power, the sword, or the weight of the sword, you know, will be upon the word of God that has been actualized in your life. And as it's been actualized, you speak that word forth, and there's power there. And it's a sword. And it completely cuts the enemy up. The reason why the enemy, if you look through the scriptures, whenever he's confronted people, you know, like Adam and Eve in the garden, Jesus, you know, at the mount, you know, whenever he's confronted, he's come against, you know, or he uses the scripture, but uses it with a twist. In other words, there's a bit of truth in there. He uses the Bible, you know, but he banks on that you actually don't know the scriptures. You know, he banks on the fact that the scriptures are not alive inside of you. You know, and obviously Eve fell into that trap, as you know, as the many others through the Bible. You know, but because Jesus knew the scriptures was living inside of him, you know, when he said it is written, in other words, he was doing the rhema, you know, the sword of the Spirit, and he was operating with his sword. Because he understood the scriptures, and not just understood the scriptures, he could recite the scriptures and knew what the scriptures were talking about and was living inside of him. That is the sword of the Spirit. You know, and so every single one of us, you know, we need to have an arsenal of scriptures that we know. You know, scriptures that we not only believe in, but that we have experienced in our life, and that's what eventually kills off the enemy. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, in my life, I don't want to just, you know, be in a defensive mode all the time. You know, I want to go on the offensive. You know, I don't want to just, you know, be there blocking missiles, you know, and, you know, getting hit in my breastplate and all these things. You know, I want to go on the offensive. And, you know, I come from the school of thought that says, you know, the best defense is a great offense. You know, and so we just continue to move forward. You know, we continue to take ground. And, you know, the gates of hell, you know, shall not prevail. And as we operate in this mindset, we can continue to move on. And the Christian life and you know, what makes it effective, it says, well, the main thing is you got to pray. In other words, you know, the arena by which this happens, the battlefield may be in the mind, but the way this operates is through prayer. Pray at all times, prayer and petition, pray in the Spirit. You know, praying in all languages, you know, come before the Lord and pray. And that will be, you know, the arena where the battle is really waged and where, in fact, where the battle is won. So let's close our eyes today. As we kind of take a look, and is there anything, you know, regarding our armor, we feel like there's a chink in? Maybe you're unsure about your salvation, or maybe you are the shield of faith, or your trust in God is weak in certain areas. Friends, you need to have a bigger shield. Maybe your arsenal is quite weak and your sword is not much of a sword at all. But in all these things, you can ask God. It's all part of our walk. And so let's ask Him. Let's ask Him for a bigger shield, for a bigger sword, better fitting helmet, thicker breastplate, all these things, that we will overcome the enemy in our lives. Let's just spend some time and kind of let that soak and pray together. I guess we don't have any worship today. Let's spend some time in intercessory prayer today. Let's pray over our friends that are in Egypt right now. This is the YWAM, the DTS team is there. Let's just cover them and ask God to really bless them and continue to release them more and more ministry. They're actually going to be on television this week doing a performance, I think at an orphanage or a school or something. And so let's cover this. Pray that many people that watch this will be impacted in their life. So just cover them right now. Thank you, Father. Let's pray over our house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's ask God to just continue to bless them, and especially as we are starting a new season. The weather is getting much better now, and so pray for a good turnout. Pray for all the leaders that God would just use them powerfully as they discuss their book, their curriculum, or the message. But there will be a real sense of community and just excitement as we start the new season amongst the house churches. So let's just cover that ministry. And lastly, let's just pray over our community. Let's pray over our church. And if you know people that are struggling with different things, just really ask God to really move in their life. And, you know, our church members that are looking for work or looking for a career change, that God would really provide in their life and really minister to them through this season. So let's just cover our community and things that are happening in people's lives and whatnot. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, God. We bless you, Lord, for this church, God, for Hong Kong. And Lord, we ask that you would refit each of us, God, and as a church, Lord, God, in this armor, Father God, that we'd be more aware, we'd be more vigilant, God, that we would be victorious, Lord, because, Lord, the battle belongs to you. And so we just pray, God, for an increase in faith, God, and our ability to trust you, Lord. Pray that our sword would be stronger, thicker, God, sharper, Lord God, that we would really move on your behalf, Lord. God, we just bless the house churches meeting tonight. Lord, would you just anoint the leaders and just draw them close to you, Lord, that as people come, God, there would be such a sense of excitement and joy and real growth, God, would happen in each of those places, Father God. Lord, we thank you today. We just lift up this day to you, God, and we ask, Lord, that Jesus, that you would be glorified in it, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please stick around and pray on your own. Have a great day today.